This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, Reginald Atitula rocking with you all day long. We're going to have Joey Erickson. Also notice Slim Scotty coming in about 20 minutes for our super block of stars content. But we're actually going to start with the Mavs, unless you want to tell anybody about your life, Corey.
I was looking at the Twitch just now, and it's on WEEI Boston for some reason.
Okay.
And I don't know why. So, like, I was looking at it going, hold on, that's not our Tolos. That's not our Twitch Tolos. Right there. Oh, yeah. Adrian's identity's been stolen, Reggie. So that was what happened yesterday. I did not give away all of our passwords, especially the passwords that matter. Turns out AT&T was hacked, and there was a data breach, and her name was part of the data breach.
Oh, that's awful.
And so we are currently dealing with that situation and have some stuff we got to do there. She's kind of scared.
Definitely not funny. I know we were poking some fun at you yesterday when we were like, did somebody go to a gas station or Applebee's or something?
It was Whataburger in Houston and then the Players Bowl in Baton Rouge.
Definitely not funny. That's a pain. I'm actually really curious. You can just text in yes if you want or hit us on the Twitch, hit us on the YouTube.
Have you ever stolen anybody's identity?
I was actually going to ask, is anyone ever compromised your identity?
Oh, yeah.
I was actually going to go the other way, but
I'll hunt you down.
I guess you could give the other answer, too, if you really wanted to.
Yeah, are you an identity thief, and do I need to not ever talk to you again?
Okay, that is fair.
I'm not sure how this affects me, but I feel like it affects a lot of things.
I mean,
as they open,
could be a pain.
They open multiple accounts at a bank with all of her information, like multiple accounts. And I was like, how did that even happen? How does the bank go? Yeah. Let's just open these three accounts for you and let you start spending out the wazoo. So it's wild, man. We'll see how it all comes down, though.
All right. We'll see. You know what? We might actually have people who can help you out as well, who are like, hey, you should talk to
Choppy.
You.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, I'm sure Choppy's got a guy. But in the meantime, the Mavericks have got a guy. Let's hear a little bit of something from Kyrie right here.
Backs it out. Shot clock winding down. Anticipation from Doncic. Washington running the floor. Doncic, trailer is Irving. Steps into it. Bottom. It's a three.
Now, wanted to focus in specifically on Kyrie hitting a three-pointer. And big props to Ruben for helping me out with this. Negative props to Ruben because he's an Oklahoma City Thunder fan. So do with that what you will.
Okay.
He really helped on the research on this, but he also likes the Thunder. So
Hate mail?
Yeah, I don't.
So we should send him hate mail, right?
I no. Well, let's see if you like the segment. If segment, then, you know.
I'll just go ahead and type up a draft just in case.
I say just trip him whenever you see him walk by.
Huh. Okay. A lot more direct. I see what you're going for.
Can't you just say go Mavs? Or like, I hope the Thunder lose?
I mean, that sounds like an option. Not necessarily the option that I'm going to take right now. Mm-hmm. So,
all right. So Kyrie makes the three, and Oklahoma City calls a timeout.
Okay.
There is 7 minutes and 22 seconds left in the third quarter, and the Mavs have now cut the deficit to one. and they have been trailing for a good chunk of the game.
Yep.
What I want to walk you through is the next 14 minutes and how that was emblematic of the problems that you're going to run into in this series and why you lost the game. All right, so you've pulled it to within 1 point. Looking good, looking good, looking good. But from there until there was 5 minutes and 14 seconds left when the Mavs called a timeout and they gave up, things fell apart. The Thunder outscored the Mavs 45-24.
Is that good?
No.
Okay.
So much so that's not good that at that pace, the Thunder would have put up 153 points for the game.
It seems like a lot.
Yes. So that is bad.
Okay.
All right. So you got outscored 45-24 in that run. So let's take a look at what happened there and how you cannot let it get replicated again. If you guys had to guess, like you watched the game, I know we're isolating a very specific part of it.
Yep.
What do you think fell apart for the Mavs or went really well for the Thunder in a stretch like that?
Reggie?
I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is turnovers.
Yep. Anything else?
Or second thing, rebounding.
Yep.
Third thing, concessions.
Like the stands?
Yeah.
Huh.
They couldn't.
Not.
Because they were like.
Oh, because the ball was nachos.
Yeah,
I feel you.
Exactly. So proud of you, dude.
Hot dog, that was a good one.
Oh, my God. Reggie's killing it right now. It's only 10:05, dude, and he's on fire. If one of you guys would have said, so get your popcorn ready, I might have smashed my head through that monitor. So thank you for not doing that.
What are you doing?
This is going to be a long ass day. All right. And then somebody else brought up free throws.
Free throws, good, yeah.
Interestingly enough, free throws, not a big player in this run.
Because the Mavericks aren't getting to the free throw line, honestly. And Jason Kidd was talking about that yesterday.
I mean for the Thunder either.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was not a big player in this. But the first two things that you guys said, spot on. Turnovers and rebounding,
okay.
All right? In this span, Oklahoma City had two turnovers. The Mavs, four. And you saw how efficient the Thunder were at turning those turnovers into points on the other side. Rebounds in this run. Dallas, 9. Oklahoma City, 13. But this is the most... I found this statistic to be stunning. In this 14-minute run, the Mavericks had 3 assists. Oklahoma City had 13.
There you go.
So the ball movement is working incredibly well for them. And that's something that you... Like, we're aware that Oklahoma City is very good at that. And you're going to have to deal with this throughout the series.
Particularly because those assists are driving kick. And the Thunder are... They are one of the better shooting teams in the league, but they're not going to pull up shots. What they're going to do from three is that they're going to have a drive, and then they're going to kick out, and they're going to have a lot of catch and shoot threes. And so what you're having is, if you're allowing that initial penetration, then your defense is collapsing. They're able to kick the ball out, and then they're knocking down shots. So of course, those are going to be assisted a lot of times. And so those assists also come with the added, negative aspect in that, one, they're counting for, 150% like a three-pointer does. But then two, like, it continues to compound upon each other when it comes to, like, your defense not being able to stay with them.
Yeah, dead on right there.
Now, there's one particular player who led the charge, and I'm hoping we have this audio cut of him answering why he's so happy. It wasn't Shea. It wasn't Chet. They both got theirs in the run. Like, they were both doing fine. But it's this man right here who really took the heart out of the Mavericks in game one.
Yeah, you exude joy on and off the court. Where does that come from?
You said joy?
Joy.
Make millions of dollars to dribble a basketball up and down the court. It's hard not to be happy.
All right, and then he laughs right after that. It is hard not to root for a player like that, but I do not want to root for Jalen Williams right now, the one from
Which
Santa
one?
Clara.
J-Dub?
The one from Santa Clara.
Okay, very good. I mean, Jay Will did knock down some threes in the course of that game
as
well.
Yeah. That is true.
Yeah, he
but
did.
I feel like
he got,
11
rebounds, something like that?
I think it was this Jalen Williams that is going to be more problematic for you during the series, because yes, they do have two players named Jalen Williams.
One with drafted an in the same year.
Well, I know, which made it even more confusing. One with an E, one with a Y, I believe.
All right, which one was this?
The Jalen Williams with an E from Santa Clara.
Gotcha. J-Dub.
He was 4 for 4 in the first 7 minutes of the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
He had 12 points in 11 minutes during this run.
Yeah.
And so
he was looking so confident from three.
And one of the things that we were concerned about, we talked about it yesterday. Other people were like, I've seen this happen. Jalen Williams has shown the propensity to take over a fourth quarter. And that might not scare you as much as like if Luka takes over a fourth quarter. You're like, sure, because he's Luka. But a lot of people probably think Shea, and I get it, just finished runner-up for MVP. We'll get to that in a second. And Chet Holmgren are the best two players in the Oklahoma City Thunder. Well, great. If the third best player on the Thunder is consistently taking over in the fourth quarter, that shows balance, and that could be trouble.
All right, question to you, Reggie, because a lot of people say that role players show up at home, but let's see how it is on the road. He's not just a role player,
I mean, and look, taking over in the fourth quarter after the other star has handled the load for the whole game, what does that sound reminiscent of?
Kyrie.
Right, like that's the role that he occupies, and he is their second ball handler, like the one that they trust to generate offense. So in that way, I understand you're giving Chet his props as a really good player, and you saw him be effective in that game. Jalen Williams is that second ball handler that's going to do that. And I thought that, and of course, I'm leaning heavily upon my experience seeing them come to town, the Thunder come to town after the trade deadline, and the Mavericks sit on his ability to drive. But what he was able to do was he was able to drive, and he, I just mentioned, they do a lot of catch and shoot three. He was able to pull up from three. And so you really have to stop his ability to get going in that fourth quarter, because as we know what that does when Kyrie does it, that's the same thing that they have in Jalen Williams.
And look, I'm really glad that you said that, because I know that people, look, there's another aspect, and I don't want to ignore that this was a huge part of it. During this run where the Thunder smoked the Mavs off the court, they went 11 of 14 from three. That's always going to be tough to overcome. But I don't want to get in that Clippers situation that we started in the first series, and we talked about a lot. It's like, hey, as soon as the Clippers miss, you're going to win. I don't think you can just take that.
Yeah, that's not.
I don't think that's the way this is going to work.
This series.
So I agree. If Oklahoma City or Dallas has a stretch where they go 11 for 14, they're shooting lights out from three, there's a good chance they're going to win. What can you do to counteract that? What can you do on multiple levels of defense to counteract that? And how are you going to slow down three players from Oklahoma City who seem terrifying?
Punch them. You punch them.
I don't
hope for an injury.
I mean, that might work.
Like, that's the only. It is. You have to be better on your rotations defensively. That's the first thing.
Or probably stop. Like, don't get into rotation is really the better situation. If you can keep them in front of you, which becomes more difficult when you understand that Luka knee is not going to get better during the course of this postseason. That's something that you have to have rest for.
Yeah.
And what are they going? Like, we saw very early in that game, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander finding a way for Luka Doncic to be guarding him and then going and attacking him. So I don't know exactly if it's switching more often in order to keep that ball in front of you. Because, again, if they drive and kick, once they kick out, they're getting open shots. Yeah. So you have to be able to keep them in front of you to begin with, so you're not in rotation. You're not chasing them around defensively.
And it sounds like super simple when it comes to those things, but footwork?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the problem.
Go execute it.
That's the problem with Luka right now, too, is he can't execute his footwork the same way if the knee's bothering him that way. And so, but you can't not have him out on the court. It's the pair of ducks that you're having to deal with.
I think that's a paradox.
Okay.
I don't know. Have you ever dealt with a couple of ducks?
I have.
They are some jerks.
Remember? They were quacking off in my pool that day.
Okay.
They were doing what exactly?
Because ducks quack, Reggie.
Oh, okay.
Somebody did say, so you're saying they played better right before our fries, and I appreciated that a lot. That was a really good one. But, yeah, no, like their footwork, this is very similar to when Maxey was like, why are you letting him go to the right so easy? They're like, well, we're trying to force him away from the left. And they're like, but it's so easy when James Harden's going to his right, and you're just standing there basically forcing him that way. And the Mavs, instead of leaning and cheating a little bit, they have to just be very good with their footwork.
Now, since we mentioned both...
That sounds so dumb. It really does.
Since we mentioned both Shai and Luka, we got the NBA MVP vote results in last night. Shai finished second, Luka finished third, and Jokic won again. Now, we had this conversation. We're all like, hey, I know Luka's going to finish top three. Shai's going to finish top three. And this is before they announced the finalists. I just didn't know how second and third were going to fall. Shai is second. Luka's third. Jokic is first. Do you think it matters at all? Like, oh, I got third instead of second? Or are you like, I mean, I didn't win, so either way?
again, this is, I was hoping that he would lose so that he would be like on death tour to try and go at everybody. But now Shea has also lost, so both of them are in the same boat. But I kind of wanted him to lose and be second, because then he has more of a chip on his shoulder. Now that he's behind SGA, I'm kind of okay. I'm actually even more okay with it, because maybe the knee feels better tonight. You know, he's like, you know what? Knee doesn't feel so bad that I finished behind that dude across from me, so I'm going to go show the world right now.
And so
MVP knee.
One of the things
I didn't say MV knee, all right? I could have.
Yeah, that's true. With this, obviously, they gave you the voting breakdown, yep. And Shea got more second place votes than Luka did.
Yep.
One, was that something that got to you at all, or were you just like, okay, that was going to happen?
No, look, I get it, just because, and I know people focus on Luka's individual statistics, and I definitely get that, but the climb up in the standings for the Thunder is pretty dang impressive as well. And so I get it. I mean, third is also the highest Luka's ever finished. Like, I know he's...
Oh, so you're viewing this from the level of improvement. Okay, yeah, interesting.
Yeah, because I saw some people last night were like, hey, when does he ever win an MVP? And I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, this is the best he's ever finished. It feels like you've got a group to work with for a while. You're going to need to make some adjustments probably. But, like, I don't think it's an outrage. I saw Brad Townsend. He said he voted for Luka. And I get it. And he thinks this outcome is a farce. But... I do not. What I wanted to check with you guys real quick.
Can I throw one more thing in there before we move away from this? Sure. Did you notice that there were 99 votes? Oddly, usually they ask for 100 voters. One person didn't turn their votes, I guess, is what we saw.
Yes, I did at first. That really bothered me because I thought somebody left Jokic out of the top five.
However, did you count how many votes Luka got? Luka is on 98 ballots, meaning someone did not vote him top five.
Wow.
That,
on MVP vote.
That's nutso, man. And I don't feel like that's a homerish opinion right there.
That's insane. Nutso. That's insane.
One of those has got to be a Brunson vote, right? Because Brunson got 64th and 5th place votes. So my guess would be somebody put Brunson, Giannis, and Tatum. Like, look, I do not think Luka should be out of the top five. I think that's just bad voting form. But that might be my guess. Or maybe that was the one person who threw Sabonis in at fourth place. I'm not sure, but I don't think that is a good MVP vote if you don't have him in the top five. There's been 9 players now in the history of the NBA who have won at least 3 MVPs.
Michael Jordan.
Correct.
LeBron James.
Correct.
That's
you were doing great. I was just going to let you keep going.
Kareem.
There.
Correct. Kareem, by the way, has the most ever with 6.
Jokic.
Correct.
Nice.
If you didn't get that one, I'd be like, come on.
Did Larry Bird?
Correct.
Mm. Just the trivia master, football and basketball.
I got 5, so I've gotten over half of these.
That's true. So,
correct.
Oh, 6 in a row, baby.
No, we're still at 5. I was just telling you.
Three MVPs or more. Magic.
Correct.
Johnson.
Hey.
That's 6.
4, 6, 9, you're incorrect.
Kendrick Perkins.
What?
Is not
Good
one
call.
Of those.
Good
is
call.
Not one. Yep. I just wanted to confirm.
This it was very be bad at Family
he was
Feud.
Yeah.
Because if somebody said that, I would just sit there. And I'd be like, that's your answer.
When did the MVP start?
Late 50s. I'm not sure.
Will?
Correct.
Nice.
I feel like the logo has to have had that many. No?
I don't believe so.
Okay, I'm going to go not the logo.
You're missing 2.
Two great players.
He is on fire, 214.
Two great players who have MVPs.
I don't know.
Tim Duncan.
One of them's going to be real tough.
No, not Tim Duncan.
No.
Like
one of these is tough because he is an all-time great.
But nobody talks about him.
Exactly.
Oscar Robertson.
No.
No. Okay.
Not Parrish.
You know one of them.
Bill Russell.
That is correct.
Nice.
That's number 8. And I believe Reginald knows number 9.
He's a big man. Doesn't get enough of his love.
Shaq.
Moses Malone.
Oh.
Moses Malone.
Yeah. Shaq didn't have 3?
Nope.
Wow.
I think, doesn't Kobe only have 1?
He only has 1, and that was in a year where it felt like he probably shouldn't have won it.
Man.
It was a lifetime achievement award.
So that's amazing.
The 214, he said Magic so slowly it was like he wasn't sure of the last name. No, I just wanted to say Magic that slow and see if Kevin said correct, and then he did. I was like, Magic Johnson, yeah.
So Moses Malone, Jokic, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird all have three MVPs. LeBron, Wilt have four. Russell, Jordan have five, and Kareem has six.
What about Hakeem?
No, that's the list.
What about Big Country Bryant Reeves?
Ooh, okay. Good answer.
No,
yeah.
That is not a good answer.
817, Steve DeBerg.
Steve DeBerg.
No.
We're
no,
just warming it up for tomorrow, Kevin.
Yeah,
you know you're
going
to hear Steve DeBerg a lot on Friday.
That's who we need to book for tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, our Stars Hockey Super Block begins with former KNC producer, turned hockey announcer, and lover of the Stars, Joey Erickson, next on The Fan.
I start work at 2, and I know I'm going to have a good day because of this segment.
Awesome.
Coming up next.
The police came and shined a light on me and said,
stroke it.
Oh, my God, Joey.
Thank you, Joey.
Coming up next.
Me and Joey.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. You're welcome. Good job, Reggie.
Is it Friday?
Right now.
Pretty close.
We kick off our Stars Hockey Super Block talking with former KNC producer, turned hockey announcer, and lover of the Stars, Joey Erickson. And I know Mike's not here today, a.k.a. Slim Scotty. Mm-hmm. And then don't forget, Colby Sapp is going to co-host tomorrow. So basically, if you've worked for us in the past, come on down. Like, just show off.
Everybody?
Here at the building. Most everybody.
Okay, all right, I appreciate that.
Most
thanks.
Everybody. How the hell's it going, Joey?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you guys for having me on. I really
wrong
appreciate
answer.
It.
Wrong answer. Wrong answer. The Stars are losing in the series, so
valid.
You should be doing terrible.
No, they'll be just fine. I have this irrational confidence in the Dallas Stars this year, much more than I've had in previous years of my life. I sit back and, hey, it's one game. They're going to be just fine. They went down two games to the defending Stanley Cup champs and then just dispatched them in seven games.
This team they're playing is better, though.
No. That's one game. It's a small sample size. Stars did not play their best hockey the other night. They'll be just fine.
All right. I need to, before
sarcasm on some of that.
Is Colorado better than Vegas?
I would say at this point in time, yes.
Okay.
If Vegas got through the Stars, I don't know if that would be, the case. I think the Stars got Vegas at a right time where they were trying to throw a lot of cooks in the kitchen.
Yep.
With the way they added Hurdle at the deadline and the way they added Hanifin, who was probably their best player in the series. And it just did not quite come together against Dallas enough to get the job done. That's why I would be scared to play Vegas in the second round if they got through. I mean, that's a team that's just going to start rolling if they got through Dallas in round one.
And
but they lost.
You said better. Yeah. Is Colorado better than Dallas?
I don't believe so because I'll still rock with the Stars' depth. I think the Stars' depth is still better, even though they need to get scoring from a lot of those depth pieces or just some of their better scores in the postseason. I mean, Pete DeBoer has basically kind of called them out without using names.
As he should.
Yeah. Our offense. He just says our offense.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you look at game one and you look at the score sheet, as you mentioned, and Cale Makar, 3 points. MacKinnon, a goal and assist. And Nishushkin, a goal and assist. Rantanen with, a few points. And then you look down at Dallas and you're still waiting for Pavelski to get going and Hintz to get going. And Sagan needs to find the back of the net. And Duchene needs to find the back of the net. It's not just one person either to put all the blame on. They need to figure it out as a whole if they want to get past Colorado, because they are very top heavy. MacKinnon's the second best player in the world. He's going to be very, very hard to limit. And Cale Makar is the best defenseman in the world at this point. He's going to be hard to limit. So you're going to have to defend really hard against those guys, and hopefully you can chip in enough offensively. I will say, I think there was some carryover from that game 7. I think just fatigue set in, and it may be funny enough to say, but maybe having a 3-goal lead after period one may have been the worst thing, because it kind of gave them this false sense of security as, oh, look at this. We're going to cruise to the finish line. We won all these close games against Vegas. We'll shut this down. But you can't do that against Colorado, as they showed you. You get a couple power plays, bang, bang, in the back of your net. We got a ball game. As if maybe they only had 1-goal lead after the first 20. Then they continue to push. I'm curious to see how game two begins tonight. I think there's going to be a much better forecheck from Dallas. That was something that really lacked in game one.
Let's hope so.
They need to put a lot more pressure on the Colorado defense, who are going to be very, very active. They're very engaged in the offensive zone. And if they do that, they'll be just fine. Pick up some of the physical edge too. But I think that first series was really grueling, and it's tough coming off of that in 48 hours to try to take on a team like Colorado, who'd been rested for 6 days at the time. So
Joey Erickson joining us here in the studio on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 Through the Fan. This is our hockey expert. Our guy first. Somebody texted in yesterday and said, and I don't know if you abide by this in playoffs or even regular season, is the Stars are a depth team, but the Avalanche are a superstar-driven team, and that's going to win. What's your feeling when it comes to those two battling each other out?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be really, really intriguing. I think in most cases, most Stanley Cup champions, I actually looked at this a few months ago, they usually have a score that's within the top 10 of scoring in the NHL. In the last decade or so, most teams have that. I think the only two champions that weren't were or maybe a Chicago team and Tampa Bay team. And they probably would have had one if it wasn't for a Kane injury and a Kucherov injury at the time. So they probably would have been in the top 10 of NHL scoring. That's what has been so odd about this year, but fantastic with Dallas. They didn't have anybody within the top 15.
They set a team record for 8 players with 20 goals or more.
And DeBoer alluded to it after practice yesterday as well. If the Johnston line wasn't scoring, then Rope's line wasn't scoring. If Rope's line wasn't scoring, then it was Duchesne. And then it was the fourth line. They've just, throughout the year, they've been able to get production from someone. And that has not been the case in years past, which has been really, really nice. But to maybe answer your question, you probably would side with the superstar team. Well, and they're not really a superstar team. Vegas probably has a better case, but a star-driven team with McKinnon and McCarr, like they're going to get their looks. You can't slow guys like that down.
But it did seem like the Stars did a good job for the first two periods of slowing down McKinnon specifically. Mm-hmm. And then it took 45 seconds for him to remind everybody who the hell he is.
Yeah, and 5-on-5 will be really interesting. I mean, outside of a few power plays, I thought they did a pretty decent job against that trio in general. And then, of course, you go into overtime, and they play such a good overtime frame. Feels like the last few postseasons that's happened, they play better, and then the one side gets one chance, and then it ends up in the back of your net, which is so, so frustrating. And it also seems to keep happening in game ones. they're 0-5 under Pete DeBoer in game one. So
just
I guess
Jason Kidd.
Yeah, they just love they love the dramatic flair of having to come back.
I do not care for that dramatic flair.
No, not the plan. Ideally,
I would have much preferred, Corey, if the Jamie Benn attempt in the last 7 seconds of the first period went in. It was 4-0. Colorado was mentally beaten, and we smashed them in that game, and then continued that for the series. I prefer
Colorado would have just gone, well, we just have to, now we got to go score 4 and tie it up for overtime. Like, that's just how they are.
And they did it twice in the regular season to Dallas.
Yeah.
I mean, they had multiple goal leads, and then it just, in a
hurry.
In
the last 10 minutes, and then Miro got hurt and brought it into Wedgwood.
Part of me wants to I don't know if we've griped enough about it, but part of me wants to really go after the Stars for losing a 3-0 lead.
Hold the lead.
That seems nuts that you can't keep it. But I also understand the situation, but man, you got to be able to keep it or at least acknowledge we know what our opponent's good at, and that's where we have to stop them.
Yeah, I don't care. If you have a 3-goal lead, you have to win that game.
Yes.
I'm sorry. You have to find a way to close it down. It's just,
do you keep,
especially on home ice.
Agreed.
You just got to finish it off.
Do you keep pushing offensively and just say we got to score seven, or do you, because it doesn't look like you can just batten down the hatches and say we're going to defend against these guys.
You have to some degree, you have to continue to push. In the third period, it becomes a different story because you're going to get Colorado's best. Let's say Dallas had a three-goal lead entering the third period. I mean, you're going to expect to not play with the puck very often, and you kind of have to live with that because basically Colorado's going to attack with all five guys they have on the sheet. So you are playing a lot of, dump the puck out of your own zone, high flips, like you saw in that Vegas series a ton in game 4 and 5 when, I mean, Dallas just closed out those games clinically, defensively, because just throwing pucks in the neutral zone, setting back up in your defensive posture, and then just taking away everything in the middle of the ice against Vegas. When you have to do that for 40 minutes, it's just not sustainable. Okay, you can't do that for 40 minutes with the talent Colorado has. So you would like them to push a bit more, but they just didn't seem to have any juice or energy. That second period was just kind of meh, right? It's just even the building, there wasn't a ton just because, I mean, the Stars didn't give anybody in the building to be excited about, and they just lost their legs.
Well, they were up 3-0. Stay excited on that.
Well, I mean, the third period didn't help either.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, because in Game 7 against the Knights, I thought that crowd was insanely good at recognizing all the things you just laid out. Mm-hmm. Everything they did good defensively, that crowd was rooting for it. Yeah, the fourth line comes off the ice. It felt like it was 50 minutes of ice time for them, and they're just like going insane for great job for not giving up the booty. Like, thank you so much for being you didn't score, you didn't do anything, but you did the right things. But I guess they did come out and score immediately, and then there was kind of a dead area.
I have an idea.
But I'm all sorts of excited.
I have an idea to fire up the crowd. You might tell me it's been too long and I need to get over it. Every time Nichushkin either takes the ice or gets the puck, should we all boo him in unison? Or has it been too long?
Stone treatment.
Yeah.
Give him the stone treatment. Why not?
Screw him.
Yes, I'm totally down with that.
Too good to play for the Stars.
Yeah. When his name's announced.
Now I want to play in the NHL.
Yeah, and he's just become like one of the best two-way forwards in the game all of a sudden.
Exactly. And Mystery Alaska, they announce his name. Everybody just pulls up a newspaper that says Hockey Town or something. I don't know. You ever see that movie, Mystery Alaska, Kevin?
I did.
You ever see that movie?
But that was in the intro.
Joey, you need to watch Mystery Alaska.
While the game is going on, because you might miss it.
Oh, yeah,
when was this
something.
Movie made? Is this before 99? My time? Okay.
Yeah.
My birth year.
Is it Russell Crowe?
It is Russell Crowe.
Oh. Yeah, he lives in Alaska. And then they play a game against the New York Rangers.
It's very real. On a rink they built themselves.
Nice.
Very
nice.
Realistic setup.
Yes.
It's a lot of fun. You should check it out.
It was a precursor to the Winter Classic. The filmmakers, they saw this ahead of time.
I'm pretty sure I have a VHS of it somewhere. So.
Oh, my God. What? Now you're just using words he doesn't even understand. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Joey, can you stick around for another Star segment?
Of course.
All right, excellent. I hope you appreciate our newly named segment last couple months or so. Puck around and find out. It isn't just Rope. Who else needs to step up for the Stars? Yeah, Pavelski, I'm looking at you.
Oh, no.
But don't worry, you're not alone either. We'll do next right here in The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Robertson. Robertson, a shot. They score!
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through the Fan, continuing our Stars super block of content with Joey Erickson. Now, we play that clip from Jason Robertson. I have taken some aim at Joe Pavelski, who has one sweet point that he just picked up, mm-hmm. and Roope Hintz, who had an empty net goal. That's awesome. As two people,
great shift though.
Yeah,
that shift was
awesome. I will agree. The last
so
2 minutes,
show him some love there.
And at the time, yes. He was blocking shots. I credit him a lot in that last 2 minutes. Absolutely, agree. Mm-hmm. But, and with Roope, it's a different deal with Pavelski. We talked about maybe Las Vegas was just a bad matchup for Pavelski. He was going to get some more open ice in this series, and I realize it's just one game, but Roope and Pavelski top my list of players who need to step up, but I know they are not the only mm-hmm. two on the list. And I did like Pavelski's response to DeBoer when he said, yeah, fair enough. Like pretty much he was like, yeah, no, I get
about,
what you're saying.
About the offense needing to show up.
Yeah. He said 100% all in on that. Now I realize around the Metroplex, all in might be a triggering phrase because of the Cowboys.
I have no clue what you're talking about.
Yes, you do. But Pavelski said all in. He's Captain America. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, Joey. From what I've seen with Pavelski, there's been some dirty work that he's done that maybe he wasn't asked to do before in his career, but he's doing it. But Brian Ray told us the other day, he was like, to get those sweet deflections that he typically gets, those shots have to get through to him. And against Vegas, they just weren't. So I assumed Colorado would be a little more open, and I saw a couple things, and then Colorado kind of closed those things up. So yeah, I just wanted to kind of see, like, do you feel like it's fair with Pavelski or unfair?
Yeah, I think it's fair, but maybe the expectations need to be hampered to some degree. It's going to be a real tough series, even against Colorado, just because the pace has picked up.
Does he look a little older?
Yeah, I think he's starting to look his age a bit. I will say he's been in the fold a bit more over the last two or three games than he was in four against Vegas. And of course, he can still have a huge impact on the power play with his net front presence. He does a lot defensively. He's still good in the dots. There's other ways for him to be effective. But look, at the end of the day, we're paying Pavelski and Roope Hintz to score at this time of year. And Hintz is a very intriguing situation because midway through game one, I was like, okay, he's not 100%. There are just some players you can tell with. And with Roope being such a dynamic player, and his advantage over everybody else is his pure skating ability and his speed. So it is very, very noticeable when he is not using that to his advantage. And I'm sitting through game one thinking, oh, he is not the same player that we're accustomed to seeing. There was something off there. And then you get DeBoer, who basically said, let's tell me Roope's hurt without telling me.
Let's get to the direct quote, which we chatted about yesterday. Not a huge fan of this. Mm-hmm. He was trying to defend Roope. I see where he's coming from. But then DeBoer said, quote, a lot of times you don't know the whole story. and I'm not going to give you the whole story, but what I will say is he's not alone in that boat. And yes. So it very much felt like, hey, he's not feeling well. He's hurt. He's definitely not the only one on the team either.
Everybody's hurt.
And you're kind of like, yeah, you could have maybe just kept that to yourself.
And yeah,
that's my takeaway.
Yeah. And, you know, Sagan's hurt. Well, he's never 100% anymore. That's just, Fair. That's something you live with, but he had such an excellent season. And I think Hintz and Sagan are in two different categories as well. And the fact that I think Sagan's had a lot of good looks. I mean, even that overtime period, he had three very, very great opportunities. He just didn't finish.
He is good looking.
Well, that too. And as for Roope, he's probably not generating as much as you would like. And you can just feel the confidence isn't there in that game seven, that 2-on-1 with him and Robo, he shoots that 100% of the time if he's rolling.
They didn't even hit the net, right?
Yeah, he didn't hit the net, or he passes it. He tries to defer a bit more in this
Robertson
series.
Robertson wasn't ready for that.
Yeah, and maybe DeBoer's trying to take the heat off of him, but the real concerning part is if Roope is limited in what he can do. He's playing 18 and a half minutes per game, which is third most among forwards. If he's limited and can't be as effective as you need him to be to win this series against Colorado, maybe it's time to start getting some of your depth or young legs some more minutes. Maybe you need to shave him down to, not massively, but maybe 15 and a half, 16, somewhere in there. Give Stankoven an opportunity to play a few more minutes. Maybe you need to throw up Wyatt Johnston on that top line. He's already playing a ton.
Yeah, I was wondering, but you're already asking a lot of him at the moment.
Jamie Benn as well. Maybe get him a few more minutes just to try to make up for the fact that Hintz isn't 100%. And he can still be effective. He's so responsible in his own zone. He's a great two-way forward. He wins draws. He does a lot of things that affect the game. But if you're not going to get the offensive output due to whatever circumstance he's dealing with, maybe you need to find a way to use your depth, like flex it. It's nice to have it. Get some guys that are fresh some more minutes to start maybe generating some more offense for you.
You talked about Wyatt Johnston,
obviously.
I've heard of him.
He's phenomenal.
He is phenomenal. He's the youngest player left in the playoffs. Does not seem, by any stretch of the imagination, that the moment is too big for him. So do y'all feel comfortable maybe just heaping a little bit more on his plate? And do you think he's shown, like, no problem?
Oh, absolutely. He's ready to shoulder that load. He's going to be an exceptional player in the National Hockey League. I think he's already elite. And I think at some point we're talking about a top five center iceman in the National Hockey League. I give him a ton of praise. And this run he's on, I mean, dates back to like March.
Yeah.
It has been incredible, the run he has been on. And he's the only one, I mean, maybe besides Robertson, that is consistently producing every single night. And every time he's on the sheet, something good happens. Every time his line is on the ice, it seems like they're playing in the offensive zone, they're attacking, and something good happens. And you can't say that for some of the other trios. Wyatt is exceptional. We're spoiled to be able to watch him every night.
It is true.
And that's a big credit to Jim Nill and company for finding him where they did in 2021.
Yeah, one of the other things, too, is when you listen to him, when you listen to, like, Otter talk, maybe it's just hockey guys in general. Yeah. Everything's about the team, you know? Like, I'm just glad I was able to contribute this. And you're just like, dude, he's so easy to root for, too. There's nothing. Or maybe if he went heel, you'd be like, you know, I'm totally in on that. But all these guys have just a respectful approach with their team. Mm-hmm. And especially these younger players, they know the veterans and what they put in and how they're helping those guys in this moment. So that's another thing, too. I do have a question, though. Why does everybody feel like, or maybe he's embellishing a little, hey, every time we hit Stankoven, we hit him as hard as we've ever hit anybody? Or is it maybe because he's tiny? He flies all over the ice. Yeah.
Hey, he pops right back up.
He can sell.
He's a battering ram out there, man. He gets hammered. I love watching him play, too, because he understands that, right? Like, his size is not going to be an advantage. Well, maybe it is an advantage to him with the way he goes into puck battles, and he's kind of slippery, and he wins a lot of those battles. He is someone that they would like to score a bit more, but he's been doing so much in terms of a forecheck and just causing havoc, wreaking havoc on a defense. But man, if you could get him going too, Ooh, watch out. Him and Johnson are special together.
Well, we were talking about the forecheck. Was Colorado more physical in game one than anticipated, or do you think maybe the Stars were? Because there was a physicality discrepancy.
Yeah.
Do you think maybe the Stars were not as physical as anticipated?
Definitely not. I think Colorado doubled up on hits in game one, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. And I think a lot of that has to do I think fatigue set in with Dallas. It was like, oh, I don't know if we can sustain what we did in the first period.
And they were flying. Yeah. They were trying to keep up with them.
Yeah. And Colorado's a team that had to get their legs back after being off for what, 5 or 6 days. So you understood that that Colorado was going to get better as the game wore on. And unfortunately, you kind of aided them by taking 2 penalties, and that's just too dangerous of a crew to do that to. You got to stay disciplined.
Are you excited about what's on the line in this series? Because if you win, you're going to make it to the Stanley Cup final because you're going to play a Canadian team and Canadian teams don't win the Stanley Cup. Or do you think one of those teams could still make it to the Stanley Cup? Clearly they'll lose, but
I'll take Dallas over Edmonton or Vancouver.
Hell yeah.
Very handily. Way more than I would against Colorado.
And Vegas?
Yes. Okay. I thought Vegas, I said this throughout the series, I think this Vegas series could be the toughest of any series throughout this postseason. That's just, I think Vegas is a really, really quality. They were a Stanley Cup contender as an 8 seed.
Yeah.
That was not an 8 seed. they completely failed in the last game of the season to become an 8 seed. And if they get through Colorado, unfortunately for the league, the Western Conference Final may be one of the most lackluster ones. and that's no shot if Edmonton gets their look. McDavid is going to have, but look, Edmonton pulled off their best Stars impression yesterday by surrendering a 3-goal lead. Yeah, so
I'm not sure how much we've talked about this note that we just got, but
about Marchment.
But yeah, Brian Ray said Marchment's replacing Foxa tonight.
He's in. That's huge.
Is that a significant thing for?
Because of his forecheck ability, he's probably, I mean, if you look at Sagan and Duchesne, the way they talk about him, they're like, he's the best F1 in the league. Just the way he's so physical, and that is someone that is going to provide some grit back. So that is a great sign, and maybe everything falls back into place. Now Marchment reunites with Duchesne and Sagan. Maybe that line gets going.
Them, yeah.
And then you can go from there. I'll be intrigued what Pete DeBoer does with the trios because he's kind of just shuffled them up here a bit. But I think you can reunite Marchment and then maybe everything falls back into place. But in terms of a guy that plays with some grit, and if you're worried about physicality, he's going to bring some of it. So that's great news to have him back.
From the 817, I'm calling it right now. Stankoven hits the nylon tonight.
Love it.
What's that mean?
He's going to score a goal. Or run into the goal.
He's going to wear
twine, nylon.
Yeah. Tickled with twine was the one I like.
Oh, the net is made of nylon.
Honestly, though, if that's what it took to win the game, would you care?
Wearing nylons?
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Exactly.
Win the game no matter what.
What's your prediction for tonight?
Besides pain. I like the Stars winning handedly. I'll say 4-1. They get the job done.
Look at that confidence.
They need a response. I'll say, I don't know if they can pull themselves out of an 0-2 hole this time around. I think that'll take a lot.
Yeah, I think they win
as much
6-2
as I have confidence in them.
6-2?
I think they score 4 in the first period, and then they're like, not enough, boys.
Oh, my gosh.
And they add 1 each period after that.
That would be freaking awesome. And if people want to catch up with you, how can they follow you? How can they listen to your work? What are you up to
now? Well, we're free and available wherever you get your podcast. Locked on Stars. I'm on YouTube if you want to see my pretty face every once in a while. So you
it's
can
no
catch
Sagan,
me there.
But,
yeah. You can follow Locked On Stars on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter. Joey the Jet 19. I say Twitter, but X, whatever it is.
It's Twitter.
Nobody
knows. I've always called it Twitter. Yeah. So yeah, no. You can follow me there. And I talk about the Stars every day, and it's a lot of fun. So
awesome, man. I'm really glad just to see you, but also to be able to tap into all that hockey knowledge as well. Really appreciate you coming.
I love being with you guys, and I truly am grateful for everybody at the station. I really am. You guys are just so fantastic, and I wouldn't even have this Locked On gig if it wasn't for Choppy. So
oh, look at that. I mean, Choppy getting some credit.
Even he has his hand in everything. So I really appreciate
that's true.
Everything
that's true.
I appreciate everything you guys have done just to keep up with me. And every once in a while Corey would shoot me a text just to see how I was doing in Wisconsin.
Indeed.
So I appreciate it.
Yeah. However, Look at my text to Joey on February 20th. You Ooh. Might not read it verbatim.
Okay.
No, read it verbatim, dude.
I can't get a freaking text. I see how it is. And he never responded. That's awesome. Wow. I really appreciate that.
February 20th.
That's great. That's
We're going to need to go to the phone
wow.
to find
wow.
out if I have an issue that is or tough. Joey just likes scoring.
We're going to find out that you have the wrong Joey. You don't even have his number.
I mean, we had a conversation yesterday, so.
877-881-1053 if you'd like us to ever have Joey back. Let us know right now.
Ooh, yeah.
Vote for Joey.
I'm going to say probably, but we'll find out in the break.
Yeah.
What happened with that?
In the 12 o'clock hour.
Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Buckets with Corey Majors.
How'd that Jack Leiter game go? Next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.